All right. You ready to rock and or roll? I am. Don't mock my throat clearing yet. I didn't do it yet.
I won't do it this time.
Jerk.
Wait, that doesn't make sense. I was being nice. Oh, my jerk.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome, Caps fans! What is going on? Welcome to What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, or Satchel. The Capitals, they're going on their first big road trip of the season out to Western Canada. Already had a game in Edmonton, eh? Well, I'm back in Baltimore, and Coach Dan is in whatever part of Maryland thinks it's D.C. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
We don't think we're D.C. We're the D.C. metro area, though.
D.C. light.
I'm in Albany, so I'm pretty sure I'm still in the D.C. metro area.
D.C. light is what we're saying. it's D.C. without the buildings.
We have buildings. It's not like we live in tents out here.
Oh, man. All right.
Brandon's a jerk. Moving on.
All right. So here we are, Caps.
That joke was about as good as how the Caps are playing right now.
I don't agree because they're not playing very well. That was a great joke.
Anyways.
All right. So since we talked last week, it feels like this is weird because like I do my Ravens podcast and I do that twice a week. So I'm constantly talking to Josh, but we only do What the Puck once a week. It feels like you and I haven't spoken in like a month and a half, even though there's only been a couple games that we've missed. It feels so weird to like be podcasting on such a long time frame.
Well, it's normally just our 7 days, but it's actually been 8 this time. So I think that's what's throwing you off.
That must be it. So we got 3 games to talk about. Unfortunately, it's only 1 win. We can talk about that in a little bit up against the Florida Panthers. The Capitals look good in that game. Then they lose to the New York Rangers and the Edmonton Oilers. I know it's early in the season, it's only the first month, and it's later than it normally is, and I shouldn't be worried, blah, 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 blah. But I do have to say, I am a little worried that the Capitals have yet to beat a playoff team, or a team that they could potentially see in the playoffs if they're good at the end of the year. They couldn't beat the Penguins, couldn't beat the Rangers. Edmonton's on a friggin' roll right now, so who knows how far they'll go. But the wins and the points that the Capitals have gotten have been against teams that are definitely less than stellar normally.
I mean, I can understand the concern in terms of how they've been playing or whether they're going to be able to go out and actually beat teams that, like you said, are going to be in the playoffs. But I also look at it and I go, it's been like 6 games. I'm not worried yet. I'm not very concerned. If it goes on for another week or two where they're not playing very well, then I'm going to start looking at it like, okay, clearly there's a problem here. I don't think they're panicking just yet. And I found it interesting. Isabel Krashutian from the Post was tweeting out a comment from Alsner, and he said that the players just aren't quite as hungry as they were last year. Last year, they just felt like it was always go, go, go. And this year, they're just not quite there yet. And he's not sure why or what is the reason for that at this point. But the guys are just not at that same intensity level that they were last year. But it sounds like they sort of understood, they've acknowledged that there's a problem there in the way that they're preparing or the way they're feeling about it. And if the coaching staff has picked up on it and they're going to start working on that, then I feel like these are the guys that are going to be able to fix it so that this team is getting better going forward.
Now, I know they're not going to win every single game. I mean, it is a long season, so of course
there's going to be 82-0 or nothing, buddy.
All right. So of course there's going to be losses.
Wait, 16 more, so it'll be like 98-0.
Maybe. I don't know.
Carry the 2. No, I'm just kidding.
We went to the same college. We're not that smart. So,
wow.
So yeah, it's a young season, but like you said, like maybe they're getting back into the groove, into the rhythm of things. There's only really two to three guys that need that extra kind of time to gel, and that's Lars Eller, Zach Sanford, or Brett Connolly. The other guys, they should feel pretty comfortable. I mean, Wilson's been working with Beagle for years now. Ovi and Kuznetsov, they're Russian friends. Oshie knows what he's doing. I mean, this should be a team that is already well acquainted. They don't need to kind of work the rust off because they've all – this is pretty much
shouldn't
the same team. It's the same team minus Jason Chimera, pretty much, and Michael Latta.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about how it was nice to see them going through this Western Conference road swing early. Because it gives the guys a chance to, you know, get away from their families and a chance for them to just be with the boys and bond. And it's not quite as big of a deal this year because most of them played together last year, or they know each other from playing together as a country or whatever else. As a country, that kind of made sense. And so for these guys to have the opportunity to go out there, it was good. But it's also like you shouldn't be having these problems. You know, we sort of saw in the beginning of the season where the passing was not so great. Like, you're used to playing together. You know what the other person wants. And so I'm hoping that this is just one of those early season slow starts that we tend to see with the Capitals for, you know, years and years back, and that they start to pick it up pretty soon. And they're playing against an Edmonton team that's – this is not the Edmonton team of the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. This is going to be a good team.
Well, let me tell you, I've been listening to the Caps podcast, and they actually said in preparation for this Edmonton game, the Edmonton Oilers haven't had a start this good, this hot – since 1985. So 31 years ago was the last time the Edmonton Oilers opened up a season like this.
I can't remember the specific year they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, but I mean, this is a good Oilers team right now, and the Capitals ran into them and didn't take, you know, you can't say whether they gave them full credit or not because we're not in the locker room. We don't really, you know, we're not in these guys' heads. We don't know how they're feeling or thinking, but this is definitely a situation where they did not play their best, and the Oilers came prepared, and the Capitals suffered as a result. And this is what, the first time in a year and a half that the Caps have lost back-to-back games, which is pretty freaking ridiculous.
That's pretty – yeah, that's a pretty good stat to think about. They love the number four, this Caps team. Have you noticed this past week? Caps won 4-2, lost 4-2, lost 4-1. So for something about that number four, they actually really dig. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a half an OV is what they're kind of into. I don't know. So for this team to start off like not as hot as they did last year, could that potentially be a good thing in the long run? Because look at what they did last year. They were dominant for so long in this season. And then January, February rolled around, and then they kind of cooled their jets, and they never really picked up the pace again. Yeah, they were in the postseason. They played a lot of good games in the postseason, but still – they got hot, they hit the blizzard, the all-star break, and then just cooled their jets. They didn't have anything to play for. They weren't motivated. Maybe not winning every game or a lot of games or whatever and having problems at the beginning of the year could actually be a good thing in the long run for these guys.
Yeah, there's something to say for overcoming quote-unquote adversity in sports, but there's also – it's early in the season, so all that momentum or things that they're potentially going through now may not matter as much or may not be quite as big of a deal as we get further into the season. And I was watching, what's it called, Capital Gains, and they were talking about listening to – oh, they're driving with what's his name? Schmidt in the car to the airport. I think it was the second episode. And they're talking about how – like listening to music and what do you listen to on your way to the game or on your way to the airport or where you may be going. And like, do you listen to music to pump you up and get you ready? And he was like, no, because when we get there, there's still a couple of hours before the game. And so if you get yourself all jacked up too early, then when it comes to game time, you're going to be spent. You're not going to have that same momentum and that same energy. And it's sort of the same thing in a season. You can't throw all your energy in the beginning or the middle. You got to save something for the end. So that come playoff time, provided you're able to get there, you're ready to roll. You want to be like the Penguins were last year when you're playing your best hockey of the season at the end of the season.
That's very true. This is going to be a dumb question. I think I already know the answer. I'm pretty sure I already know the answer.
Okay.
Is it bad or is it a sign of defense that the last two games the opposing team's been able to score 4 points against Braden Holtby. Is there a little, like, you know, a little shot in the armor there for Holtby, with a Holtby?
Nah, I'm not worried.
Is it still
It's one game.
It's the last two games. It's the Rangers and the Oilers. Is it something maybe the defense we should be worried about? Is there a potential of a line change in the defense like we saw in the offense earlier this week?
I might have to go back and look at specifically which defenses were on the ice when these plays happened, but I'm not very concerned. Like I said earlier, it's six games in. You know, when you switch up your defensive pairings, you're going to go through these air times where they're going to make mistakes. And there's some concern, I'm sure, amongst the coaching staff in terms of how they're doing, but they're going to give them more time, or at least like they think they'd give them more time than just six games to get it right. And if this keeps happening in the next week or two, then there's something to be concerned about. Now, it's just so early in the season.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, but I mean, a month from now is going to be about Thanksgiving, and we all know that's when Bruce Boudreau lost his job. So, I mean, yeah, we got to say it's early in the season, but still, you know, there's, you know, you got to get the points when you can get the points, I guess.
True, but they're all, like you said, they're not going to win every game. They're not going to go 82-0, and in the games that they lose, is it a matter of they're playing hard and just not good enough, or are they just not playing well? And there's something to say about both in terms of whether they're good or bad. If you're playing your heart out, but you're just not good enough, at least you know what you got and you're not quite there yet. And that's the Capitals we saw of the mid-2000s, where it was the first couple of years for Ovechkin, Backstrom, and they were like, they tried hard. They just weren't good enough as a team, didn't have good enough players at that point. If you're a team that's just not has the talent, but you're just not trying, it's a different thing. Like, it's good to have the talent, but, you know, why are you not winning games at that point?
So, like, Alex Semin or Ovechkin under Dale Hunter.
Yeah.
You have the talent, but you're just not using it.
Well, it's – yeah. Okay, I guess I can get the analogy in terms of the Hunter-Ovechkin thing. But, yes, we could say to some extent the Alexander Semin thing, where he was just not quite giving as much every night as you would hope to for a guy with that kind of talent.
Yeah. All right, so the last two games, Rangers-Oilers, those two are a little difficult to watch, especially that Rangers game, because the Capitals, they look like they came out swinging, they scored 2 points, and then the last two periods, I mean, it was sloppy play, these guys didn't look good at all, and the Rangers were able to come back and win it 4-2. Did they just take their foot off the gas? Did they take the rest of the night off, or is this like a sign of some things got to change? Again, I know, six games. Nothing's really going
to
change. But
I have to admit, I didn't actually see the Rangers game. I was out of town. I don't know. I mean, it's just too early to say as to whether they – I don't know if they necessarily took the night off. I think this all goes back to what Carl Olsner said in terms of the guys just don't have quite that same fire that they had last season. And you hope that they'll have it back sooner. You hope that they'll kind of wake up. But we have to wait and see necessarily – or what happens. And it's up to the coaching staff to wake them up and to find out what the issue is and how do they get them fired up. And it's got to be kind of tough as a team that you do as well as you do season after season. You make it as far as you do, and then you have to wait all these months to play a new season. And then you have to continue to wait all these months to get to back to the playoffs. And to have to wait – I mean, we think of it as fans. It's like, oh, God, we have to wait all the way until the spring to be able to watch the playoffs again. And then you're like, oh, these players are living this. Like, this is their life where they have to wait until the spring to have the opportunity to play in the playoffs game, provided they get there. But then they also have to play all of these games. And so it's a motivation thing, and whether they have the motivation right now to be playing as good as they should be.
I kind of hear you there. It'll take some time. They're going to get used to it. We've already seen one change, though, and I don't think this is a reflection on any particular player, but Andrei Burakovsky, TJ Oshie, they swapped spots. Andre's been moved up to the first line with Ovi and Kuznetsov, and I like that. I like that change a lot because Ovi and Burakovsky, they like to shoot. Both of them are, you know, they're very, you know, stick happy. Whenever they get a chance, they will take that shot, and I like that. Gives Kuznetsov a weapon on each side. I don't really think it's a sign of, like, these guys weren't gelling with these guys or whatever. I think this was just kind of like a, let's see what happens here type of deal.
Yeah, I think it was, like you're saying, trying to shake things up, see what happens. I'll be curious to see if they give him more than just a game, considering it didn't really work as well last night.
Yeah.
The game against Edmonton. But that's the one thing. When you make these line changes, I hope they give them more than just a couple of games before switching it back or making a different change and seeing what happens. Like, you have to give time for guys to play together to see how they work out.
And here's another thing I was wondering about this. And this isn't really gameplay or anything like that, but have you noticed whenever the Capitals or somebody throws a Halloween party or there's like a big get-together or whatever, TJ Oshie's never there? Have you noticed that? Like, pictures that have come out and everything, it's always like, look at Ovi dressed up like this with his wife. Look at this couple, whatever, whatever. And then, like, it's always TJ Oshie, his wife, kid, and, like, they're all by themselves, like, in a corner somewhere, not at the party, doing their own thing. Do you think TJ Oshie, like, yeah, he's a part of this team and he's a big part of this team, but do you think he's ever really, I guess, like, made friends on a personal level with a lot of these guys?
I mean, I'm sure they're all, you know, friends to some extent, but they also are all getting older. And, you know, they talk about how, or I've read about how Backstrom and Ovechkin don't really hang out as much outside of the rink anymore because they have their own lives now. And Backstrom's got a girlfriend or wife at this point, but he's got a kid. And so, like, they have other responsibilities. And so the fact that they're not, like, hanging out 24/7 isn't a problem. I don't think it's a chemistry issue right now. I think some of it is a motivation issue.
That's what do you think the motivation issue is?
They're just not motivated at this point. They're not motivated necessarily quite as much as some other teams maybe. They're not motivated necessarily to fight as hard just because it's early in the season and some of them may be still having, I don't know if it's really a thing, but like a disappointment hangover from last year in terms of the playoffs or how they did in the playoffs and knowing that it's such a long time before they get back there. And it's got to be tough. I mean, in such a smaller role, or a smaller scale. I mean, I play indoor soccer, and if we make it to the playoffs or make it even to a championship game, and then if we lose, knowing that I have to wait, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 weeks to have that opportunity again to potentially play in the playoffs or a championship it's a little tough. You go back to the regular season, you're like, well, this isn't quite as interesting. It's not quite as – you don't have quite the same motivation. But then again, these are professionals, and they should be – pushing themselves as hard as they can every night, but we also know that's not necessarily realistic. They are human beings after all. And so it's going to be up to the coaching staff to find a way to motivate them so they're playing as best they can.
All right, so what else should we talk about in Caps world?
No, that's not really it. We pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, we're pretty good at this, aren't we?
And we're doing pretty good. It's only taken us a lot of years, but we'll figure we get there eventually. But no, I mean, I'm not concerned yet. We're only 6 games in. If they're still on this bad form by the time we talk next week, I'll start getting a little concerned.
If you remember during the lockout season, it was back-to-back games with Winnipeg that really got this team turned around, really started to click together. And we do have a home-and-home coming up with the Winnipeg Jets the next, like, week and a half. So I'll be pretty interested to see what happens there. I'm kind of hoping trip to the peg is going to be what's really going to help these guys.
Kind of wake them up.
Yeah, kind of wake them up a little bit. I think that's pretty much it for Caps World. We're going to go back to old school. We're going down on the farm. That's right. We got news about the Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. But before we talk about them, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, guys, welcome to Down on the Farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Hershey kicked off their season back on the 14th with a loss to Rochester and has struggled to start the season. Now, where have we heard that before? Going 1-2-2, winning their home opener over Bridgeport. The Bears will be back at it with back-to-back home games over the weekend against Binghamton and Lehigh Valley. Now, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays are also off to the whole organization and their franchises. That's not right. Their teams, Brandon, everybody's struggling. They're off to a slow start as well, going 0-1-1 with losses to Greenville and Wichita. Stingrays are back at it tonight in Orlando with games on Friday and Saturday in Florida and a Tuesday home game against Orlando. They're going throughout Florida and coming right back hopefully with some wins. But yeah, the whole Capitals family is struggling to start this season. Checking in on what players to keep an eye on in the minors this season. As of right now, Hershey's got a ton of players, such as Madison Bowie, Jakub Vrána, Riley Barber, Christian Juice, and Nathan Walker, and Vitek Vanacek. Brandon, that's your boy.
That's my boy.
To name a few, while South Carolina...
He could get a bobblehead this year.
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
He totally could get a bobblehead this year.
He could get a bobblehead this year. But in South Carolina, they currently have Caps prospect goaltender Adam Carlson, as well as Mads Eller, who is the younger brother of Caps third-line center Lars Eller. But that's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, very cool. Go Bears, go Stingrays, everybody turn it around. I think it's just like the jumbling of the lines a little bit for these guys. I mean, to have Vanacek be with the Hershey Bears full-time this season, it takes a little adjustment for everybody to get used to. All right, guys, that's it for Down on the Farm. Now we're going to go around the NHL. Guys, there's plenty of stuff going on around the NHL. It's not just the Capitals doing work. There was already an outdoor game, if you can believe that. There's plenty of stuff going on. Certain players are coming back after concussions. I'm sure other people have gotten suspended and concussed, and it's a violent game. What can I say? Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, it's so early in the season, so I don't expect a lot of moves or big news to happen anytime soon, though you never really know. But currently the more interesting things are Anaheim signed restricted free agent Hampus Lindholm. I don't even know if his first name is Hampus. It's an interesting name. Hampus Lindholm.
Hampus?
Hampus. H-A-M-P-U-S. Like a hamper, but like for two people.
Wow, okay.
I made that up. That's not a word. Hampus Lindholm to a six-year extension worth a reported total of $31.5 million with those numbers, courtesy of TSN. Defenseman Jay Bouwmeester played in his 1,000th NHL game this past Tuesday, becoming the 307th player to do so. He currently is with St. Louis, but was previously played for Florida and Calgary. This is St. Louis' first team that doesn't have red. Interesting. Huh. Florida's Jaromir Jagr scored goal number 750 last week against the Capitals, but screw him, he's Jagr, he's a douche. Minnesota's Zach Parise scored his 300th NHL goal this past Sunday, becoming the 196th player to do so. And Brandon, it wouldn't be the NHL season without somebody getting suspended.
I knew it.
There you go, just for you, buddy. Philadelphia's Dale Weiss, I don't really know. He was suspended for 3 games for an illegal check to the head of Anaheim's, all right, hold on, Corbinian Holzer. That's a pretty cool first name.
Holzer.
No, that's his last name. Corbinian.
All right.
I like that. It wasn't the worst hit in the world, but it's still illegal, and he got punished for it. And finally, the NHL and sports apparel and fan gear store Fanatics have partnered up starting next season. Fanatics will, and I quote, be the official manufacturer of a broad range of NHL apparel and headwear, including replica jerseys, as well as hot market merchandise for the Stanley Cup playoffs and final, all starting with the 2017-2018 NHL season. Yep, that's a thing. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
Have you used Fanatics before?
Yeah, I've used it a bunch of times. I actually have a both good and bad story regarding them.
Let's hear the good one first.
Would you like? Okay, well, it's the same story.
Oh.
So, no, I was buying this, like, Caps ornaments, and it's not an ornament, but, like, it's, like, a thing. It had, like, four guys. I think they're supposed to be elves or, like, Santas, and they had Capitals written out, and it was, like, they were fans of the Caps. Anyways, so I ordered it from Fanatics, and it showed up, and it was pieces of it were broken.
Oh.
In both the like collectible thingy. I don't even know what to call it. It's like a thing. It's just, we have one in the house. And the ornaments. And so I emailed them and was like, hey, these things came broken. Like, is there something you can do? This is kind of like a problem. And they emailed me back and were like, yeah, we're really sorry that happened. We'll have a new one just sent out to you. You can go ahead and keep the other ones. And I was like, okay, cool. So they sent me another one right away. I got it in like a couple of days. The only problem was it came again, and one of the ornaments was still broken.
Oh, God.
And I rolled back, and I was like, hey, I'm really sorry to be that guy, but they're broken. Like, one of them's broken again. I sent a picture, and they're like, thank you for letting us know. We're actually looking into our shipping methods because this is clearly a problem. We're going to send you another one. And I think they gave me, like, free Fanatic dollars or whatever, and so I was able to like get something else essentially for me for free, which is pretty cool. And so like they have very good service or customer service, but that was kind of, but it might not even be their fault.
Did they send you a third set
of the
elf ornament things?
Yeah, of the ornament thing. The other thing was fine the second time. It looked like it's probably just broken, like, in its way being shipped to me. But there, I mean, it was very nice of them to be like, hey, we're sorry this happened, and we fixed it.
All right. Well, they're not all bad. They always have really good clearance sections on their website. Like, I looked on there recently, and they had, like, Capital's Lego Men, because my godson's really into Legos. They were normally, like, $12. They were on sale for, like, $2. So, like, they lower stuff, you know, to a very good rate. You just got to, like, you know, get to a certain amount to have them shipped free or whatever. And that always takes a long time. But, you know, NHL moving up in the world, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting. It's like one of those things where they have, like, on the replica jerseys where the lower left corner will have, like, the size. I think I have one here as a similar thing. But it'll have like the Fanatics name on there as well.
I hate that. Like, why do you got to tell everybody what size you're wearing? Like, just keep it on the tag. Like, what's the point of that?
I suppose that's fair.
Stupid. You know, I don't want to share that information with people. It's rude. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So that's it. Is that it for around the NHL?
Yeah, it's pretty much it, man. It's early in the season. Not a lot of crazy things are happening just quite yet.
That's true. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real simple. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also occasionally find some old stuff, and every once in a while, maybe if I ever have a chance to write something again, some new stuff, over Capitals Outsider. com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobblehead, of which, Brandon, you believe that Vitek Vanacek will get one soon.
I would totally enjoy a Vitek Vanacek bobblehead and Hershey Bear style. I'd go for that game. If they have them dressed up like a fireman or a police officer like last year, they did for one player, or if it was just him as a bobblehead, I'd be cool with it.
I'm looking at the Dmitry Orlov bobblehead from August 6th.
Blood
he looks kind of creepy. Yeah, he looks kind of creepy.
Did you ever see the Philip Grubauer bobblehead that the Hershey Bears put out?
Hang on. Let's see if it's on Capitals Outsider.
That one was pretty solid. I think I went to a game the day before.
Wait, what was it?
It was a Hershey Bear. It was Philip Grubauer.
Oh, that one's cool.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at this. They have, like, pictures and... Oh, the bobblehead, they can move the cage off his face. That's kind of called the mask.
Yeah,
but yes, you go to the. They have links to all of them. They have a wait. Why is there a Darius Rucker one? Okay, I'm getting a little confused now. Oh, the Stingrays put out a Darius Rucker one. He's wearing a Stingrays hat. That's kind of cool. For those of you who don't know, Darius Rucker is Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish.
I did not know that.
Wait, seriously?
I mean, that name didn't really click until you just said that. So, yeah,
he's Hootie. But yes, they have all the bobbleheads within the Caps organization and Caps family, as well as the Kuznetsov figurine. Done. They have the whole stupid Holpies thing. Oh, the Chris Borg garden gnome's kind of cool. But yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. 2 P's in that title. Make sure you like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And go over to our Twitter at WhatThePuckPod. Like us over there. We're always trying to tweet out or Facebook some articles or pictures, photos, new episodes of What the Puck, all that kind of good stuff. So check us out there. All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. I mean, if you listen to us on just one of those, I think in return, you should tell all your friends about What the Puck and tell them to listen to us as well. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go, which... By the way, we got tweeted, you know, from one of our listeners because they found a Jigglypuck Pokemon. So we are starting a trend.
I'm not playing along.
Hashtag hockey Pokemon. Hockeymon. There you go. Hashtag it.
Not playing along.
Hashtag Hockeymon and then send them all to Coach Dan at WTP.
No,
Coach
don't
Dan.
Tell people to do that.
I'm totally telling people to do that. All right, so let's talk about the games we will be watching until we talk again. On Saturday, October 29th, the Capitals are in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Against those crazy Canucks, eh? That game is 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Good Lord, that's a late one. That is on.
Yeah, you go out, go to early dinner, go see a movie, then come home, watch the game.
Yeah, there you
I don't
go.
Know why I'm doing this hand thing on Skype. I don't know what I'm doing.
You know, that's a good thing we should just bring up real quick. So it's a Saturday night game. It's Halloween weekend. Coach,
woo, Saturday night.
What is your favorite slasher horror movie to watch around Halloween time?
Ooh. What's the line from Scream 2? What's your favorite scary movie? Showgirls?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't really watch like a scary movie around Halloween.
You don't get into the mood? You don't start watching just slasher flicks?
No. Well, that doesn't really scream Halloween. I don't know. I know. What is it? The fiance likes Hocus Pocus, but I can't take that stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'd say Nightmare Before Christmas. That's a good one.
I hate that thing.
Well, we all make mistakes.
I hate it so much. All right, I gotta say, if you're doing
Saw
like,
is a good one.
Which one?
Saw.
Saw's good. I like Saw.
Are we looking for a particular like Halloween movies? Well, that's really a thing, I guess. I don't know. What about you, Brandon? What's your go-to Halloween movie?
Back when I used to host Halloween movie marathons, and I used to love doing that, but people started new relationships and they don't come around anymore. But
how dare
right? I would show, to start it off, Hocus Pocus. I would, because it's a light movie, something easy, work your way in. Number two, Trick or Treat. If you haven't seen that one, that is a solid slasher flick. It's kind of like Creepshow. It's a bunch of tiny little stories all molded into one on Halloween night. And then, of course, you end it with John Carpenter's Halloween, the originator of the slasher flicks. Just saw that at the Senator Theater last night in Baltimore. One of my all-time favorite movies. Just awesome. I love that flick. Not Rob Zombie's version. Because screw that guy. Just terrible.
I don't know.
Then I'd go with Scream, Halloween H2O, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm okay with the Jessica Biel one. I like that one.
I feel like you don't like it for the slashing aspect of things.
I mean, the chainsaw one's fun, but
mm-hmm.
I like Jessica Biel as well. All right. Mm-hmm. So now let's go to Sunday, October 30th. The Capitals are in Calgary, home of the Hart House and the Hart Family Dungeon. That game is at 9:30 Eastern.
You know who they're also going to see there?
Who's that?
Troy Brower.
That's right. Troy Brower. He's Mr. Winter Classic himself.
The hero of the DC Winter Classic, Troy Brower, and Dancing Troy Brower.
Dancing Troy Brower. That's right. That game, you can view it locally here on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. And then they're taking off Halloween, and then they're going to the Peg for a game on Tuesday, November 1st. We're already talking about November. Holy cow.
I know, right? This month went by fast.
It went by really fast. So the Caps are in the Peg. That game starts at 8 o'clock. That's a little bit better. That's a little more of a decent hour. 8 o'clock start
time. It gets over on 10:30, 10:45, watch a little TV, then go to bed.
Or just fall asleep right after the game. Like,
what day is that? Tuesday, you said?
Tuesday, yeah, October.
Hey, watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., go to bed. It'll be fine.
Yeah, be bored to death and then go to bed. Tuesday, October 1st at the Peg, Winnipeg, 8 Whatever. O'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. And then we'll be back to record a new show next Wednesday. How cool is that?
Yeah, we got two Wednesdays in a row. Then the two Wednesdays after that, they have games. Just throwing the schedule in the air, ruining everything.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot.
God, wow, they played Penguins again already. That's not for a couple weeks, but like Like it was like they played the Penguins once early last season, and then didn't see them for months.
Oh, they're playing on Thanksgiving Eve. That's right. All right, so that's it until we talk again. Get a little ahead of ourselves now, but three big Canadian teams. I'm hoping Vancouver's looking really good this year, so that's going to be a tough one. Calgary starting off very poorly. If the Capitals can't get out of Calgary with a win, then we definitely have something to worry about and something to talk about next week.
Let's hope that that's because they played really well.
That's right. Everything's like, gelling now.
They're good, doing well, guys. Good times. All right, let's go talk about Hershey. No, they're also doing well. Yeah, it'd be nice if that was the. I was just up in Hershey on Saturday, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the game. I was at Hershey Park. I burned my tongue on their hot chocolate.
What?
It was cold and windy as hell. And I got hot chocolate, and then I burned my tongue because yeah, I was too cold and I couldn't wait. But dude, their hot chocolate is phenomenal.
Well, you're in Hershey. If it wasn't, it's something is wrong.
Great, it is good stuff. But yes, it was cold as hell. It was that you know that statement doesn't make any sense. But the point is, there is a lot of people at that Bears game, and we were leaving around 8:30, 8:45-ish, I think. And we're driving. When you, I don't know if anybody's been to Hershey, but the parking, you come in off the main road, and you go around in like a gigantic circle, basically to get to the parking lot to go to like Hershey Park or Chocolate World. And in doing so, you drive around the Giant Center. And so when driving out, it was just like, wow, there's like a bajillion people going to this game.
Parking up there kind of cool. Sucks.
Huh?
Parking up there does kind of suck.
I don't know about that. It's not that bad. I mean, yeah, it's basically a huge parking lot, so if you end up getting there later, you park further away and you have to walk. But I'll take that over the Metro right now.
Yeah, I'm planning to go to the election night game, and our buddy Phil was trying to tell me about like how I shouldn't take the Metro to get down there and I should park by his apartment complex. And
oh, way better idea.
Yeah. Although I don't want to drive in D.C., but might have to at this point because the Metro is just terrible.
When we went to the home opener, we drove. That was a Saturday, so it's not quite the same as going during the week. Plus, you're driving into D.C. on election night,
yeah,
so they're not there.
Nobody's working, so it shouldn't be a big deal. Mm-hmm. They're government workers. They don't work that day. Actually, they're government workers. They never work. Got ya.
Oh,
all right, guys, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thanks a lot for listening to What the Puck. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.